Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights. In for John Canzano, here's Jude and Newby with the Bald-Faced Truth.
Welcome back into the show, Hour 2, on this holiday Monday. Thanks for being a part of it. Whether you're getting to listen around in your car, enjoying a day off of work, or if you're putting in the extra holiday hours, streaming us on terrestrial radio or online, however you may be consuming the show. Thanks for being along here. Canzano will be back tomorrow, no doubt, to revel in the 49er coronation, winning the NFC Championship yesterday. We've covered that in part. We've already played Who Got Smoked as well. Giving a little shout-out to Oregon men's basketball and an incredible shot by Peyton Pritchard to stun the Huskies in Seattle. But we're talking Super Bowl 54, the big game, as it were. Of course, we're the home of Super Bowl 54 in Portland from Westwood One right here on the BFT Radio Network flagship 750 The Game. And Chiefs 49ers, we'll get to Neil Lomax's thoughts later this hour as well. But I wanted to bring in studio the person, and I know a couple of Chiefs fans, but this individual in particular is the biggest Chiefs fan that I know in my life, and he works 15 feet from me, and we talk football every day.
The biggest you've ever known.
The biggest Chief Cooper Banks from FM News 101 KXL. Cooper, thanks for being here, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on here to talk about it after 50 years or however long.
Yeah. We had you in studio 50 years ago.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
And we just figured since you're back in the big game that you can be in studio again. I'm curious to know, though, first of all, I know that you're a diehard fan. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
One thing that's important to me when I watch a game is to be able to control the immediate environment around me. Like, I got to be able to watch with either just by myself.
Sure.
Or certain people that I know are comfortable with me.
With you during the game.
Exactly, yeah. Because that in and of itself is its own television drama. How do you watch your Chiefs game? How did you watch yesterday? Do you go to a sports bar? Do you watch by yourself? How do you do that?
When we get into crunch time like this, I watch by myself. Nobody want to see me go through.
Can't risk it.
That. Just in case. I don don my Patrick Mahomes Chiefs jersey, and I sit there, and I watch and evaluate all by myself.
You have a Mahomes jersey.
That I do.
How long did it take you to buy it?
I got it as a gift for my birthday. It was about a year ago.
Okay. All right. So that coincides with his rise to stardom. It wasn't like exactly when he got drafted, but it was also a gift, right? So that's one of those things where it's like, do you shell out money to do that yourself, or do you wait for people to give it to you?
I didn't ask for it per se. I'd already been a Patrick Mahomes fan starting when I first saw him throw football.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on with me and the Chiefs and Mahomes and everything, and they just surprised me with the jersey. It was really nice.
Yesterday, they go down 17-7 early.
Yeah.
And you're feeling what?
Well, nervous, no doubt.
You were.
Absolutely. I know what the Kansas City Chiefs are capable of, and still, I also knew what Derrick Henry and the Titans are capable of. And they were executing their game plan to perfection.
Yes.
And that, as a football mind and a student of the game, former college football player, I know how it can go south fast when you're up by two scores, or I should say 17-7, and you have Derrick Henry. I just know how the game can go.
What position did you play in college?
I was a tight end first, and then I was an offensive guard.
That's right. Okay. So
too many burgers.
Yeah.
Too many burgers and beer.
Yeah, exactly.
What? But I was nervous because you watched them just bleed the game away the prior two playoff games, just giving the ball to number 22.
Right, and that's exactly what the Titans' script was. And yet, we saw at the end of the first half yesterday something very similar to what we saw in the second quarter the week before. And number 15 just got ridiculously hot and got anything he wanted. By the time halftime hit, I assume you had to be in a pretty good place.
Oh, yeah. You feel that same relief relieved feeling. You didn't necessarily know it was coming, but you kept the faith because they can do that. And I got to hate being a defensive coordinator in the NFL trying to game plan against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I just have to say that.
It's pretty impossible.
It's really hard. I think the San Francisco 49ers, though, as we were talking about earlier,
right,
as we look ahead to this game coming up,
yeah,
I think that the Niners, and I love this matchup. I want to say
it's
that
so
first
good,
of all.
Man. It's so
just
tasty.
As a football fan,
yeah,
I think the Niners have the defense that you want to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you would have to give them probably the best chance of any defense this season to slow down Mahomes. And I know Mahomes has been banged up, and they haven't been the peak Chiefs offense from last year until these past 2 weeks. I think they started to heat up in December a little bit, actually. They played well, but it wasn't until that second quarter against Houston and the floodworks that followed, and same against Tennessee yesterday. And then if you get Mahomes running the football like the way that he did in that game, it's darn near impossible.
I joked that he created the quarterback self-checkdown play.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really, but it's nobody's open. I'll just go ahead and run the ball.
He's part of his own read in the offense. can you take me into like the football culture in Kansas City and what that market might be feeling right now?
Oh,
that they
man.
Finally, from the disappointment of last year, feeling like they should have been there, to the ascension this year. They see Baltimore get knocked out. They get given home field because
sure.
the Pats lose to Miami. All of a sudden, you get the comeback versus Houston, now the comeback versus Tennessee, and you're going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years.
We would rather have not had to deal with the comebacks, the
right.
fans of Kansas City.
Sure.
I'll say that.
But, it's more fun that way.
Sure, and perhaps more impressive. And I would say, too, that folks in Kansas City, I mean, I saw tears, I saw jubilation, I saw almost disbelief, a kind of a surreal tone to the way fans were processing the entire thing.
Yeah.
It was almost as if all the demons of the same old Chiefs past were now just going away. And now everyone has come around and now believes, I think, in this franchise. Different from the way that it was before. Even despite the fact that Mahomes was playing like he was through 2018, through most of this year, even hurt, there were plenty of those Chiefs fans who went into Arrowhead on Sunday who still had those ghosts in their mind from the past, all of the playoff embarrassment and disappointment, and we're still feeling that way until the win came around and we were going to the game.
For those of us that might not be as familiar with those ghosts, obviously we know what happened last year, but what are some of the other ghosts that Chiefs fans were? What are the other playoff disappointments?
Take your pick. Marcus Mariota from the Titans throwing himself a touchdown to turn a game around, end up winning 22-21.
Yeah.
The field goal game against the Steelers where they didn't score a single touchdown and managed to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
That's right. Wow, I forgot about, was that 18?
That was 2016.
Or what was the final score of that game?
I think it was 18-16.
Yeah, 18-16,
final score.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, because of the holding call on
Eric Fisher.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And so it's things like that have continued to happen over and over and over for Chiefs fans every single year in the postseason. And of course, it built that reputation where the Chiefs are the team that makes it to the playoffs and doesn't win.
The fact that Kansas City has opened as a slight favorite in this game, does that give you confidence, or does that just make you nervous, or what do you make of that?
Look, I'm going to care whether the Chiefs win or lose, of course.
Yeah.
However, I'm really just excited that this game is going to be epic. I think a 1.5-point spread is perfect. I do feel a little nervous that they're going to lose, of course, because San Francisco is amazing. But I'm just excited to see what I think is going to be one of the best Super Bowls we've seen in a while.
And we mentioned this, but I mean, we talk about a couple of the most exciting Chiefs games in the last couple of years. The Chiefs-Rams Monday night from last year that was supposed to be played in Mexico City and got shifted to the Coliseum and then ended up being 54-51.
Yeah.
And that
just a circus.
Crazy, crazy game. And we looked at the 49ers Saints game this year as well, 48-46. And I think there's an argument to be had that this could be a similar type of game.
Absolutely.
You know, the 49ers do have a really, really good defense, a great defense, arguably. But just the fact that you've got Mahomes and then you've got the Niner offense functioning the way it is, it's going to be hard for anybody to slow them down the way they're currently playing.
I think that there are going to be the kind of hits, plays, scoring that occurred in that Saints 49ers game from earlier on this year, except more.
Right.
Because you have Mahomes involved instead of Drew Brees. you have Tyreek Hill involved instead of Michael Thomas.
How do people feel about Tyreek Hill? I'm curious.
In Kansas City, Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Oh, we back him. We certainly back him now, and we love him. Honestly, after everything washed out, and he plays the way that he plays, there's no sour feelings with him whatsoever.
That's hard. Because you have to work through those emotions of a guy that is kind of a bad
you didn't
person.
You didn't know for a bit, and you worry about a personal. You worry about him on the personal side, and I think not to say that he was ever vindicated. I could say but I think some of the things that folks had presumed about the situation those myths were busted a bit, I think, as we watched it come out in the wash. And we're probably going to find out more about that whole thing as time goes on.
I bet so, yeah. And he's not, I'll put it this way, like, unless you own him on a fantasy team or you live in Kansas City, you don't really root for Tyreek Hill's success. And
sure.
I'm not sure I can blame you for that, even though details of his past might be up for grabs. Like, the overall narrative is still a sketchy one. Kareem Hunt, you know, he has something similar, and he ends up being
I miss that guy on the football field, by the way.
On
I just
the
have to tell
field.
You that. Yeah, I miss him on the football
see,
field.
See, as a fan, do you have to compartmentalize?
A little
or
bit.
Or do you?
I
mean, Frank Clark, similar. Seattle, when Seattle drafted Frank Clark, he had a domestic violence issue from college at Michigan that was ended up being, you know, he wasn't charged for anything, but it was still very, very shady. And I talked to all Seahawks fans that were a little conflicted. But you're going to have a guy or two on just about every team in the NFL.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Are we playing football or are we trying to grow idols? I don't know.
But that's up to the fan then to realize that and be able to say, hey, you know, rooting for a football team is kind of a broken endeavor. It is who we are, but we can't expect these guys to be, we can't expect all of them to be role models.
And I'm super excited to see that we're going that we despite all of that we're still going to be able to see what these guys are able to do on the football field on the biggest stage. And I think it's going to be just the most explosive, man. And I just pointed to the Niners defense. I want to make this point for all the Niners fans out there who may already feel confident or have doubt. I want to boost your confidence or erase your doubts.
A little reverse psychology.
What the Niners can do to a team like the Chiefs with Mahomes that I think just about any other defense is unable to do is get to him with a pass rush that includes only four guys instead of five. You get to drop that extra fifth guy in coverage or spy Mahomes, make sure he doesn't do those self checkdowns.
It's a strategy that's as old as football itself. Can you rush the passer with four? And the Titans weren't able to do that with any particular degree of success. Neither was the Texans. The 49ers just about might.
I think so.
I mean, they've got the guys to do it.
You know, they'll at least force Pat to keep one running back in protection.
Yeah.
But the Niners, from time to time,
they also haven't had to face an offense with Tyreek and Kelsey. That's
what do you do
thing.
There?
You know, like
double one, pick your poison, right?
They had Adams was the only guy they really had to worry about on Green Bay's offense. The Vikings offense, even though they've got some names, Thielen was banged up, Diggs was sick, you know, and Cousins is Cousins on the road, right?
So, yeah.
You know, this is a different type of test for them. Definitely probably the most elite offense they played all year, including, you know, Russell Wilson in Seattle. I think Wilson and Mahomes are the two best quarterbacks in football.
Agreed.
They're both very similar. I think Russell Wilson is, you know, I'm biased, but maybe he's relied upon to do even more than Mahomes is sometimes. And he doesn't have the supporting cast at the skill set positions that Mahomes does with Hill and Kelsey and others. But that being said, this is going to be an exceptional test for the 49er defense.
You know who I love, though, to flip it over is George Kittle.
Right.
I think, and this is coming from a Chiefs fan now, he's the best tight end in football.
Whoa.
I'm saying it.
Really?
I'm saying it. I know football, man. I watch the same thing you're watching.
There's a lot of pumping up the opponent from your end. I was expecting a little bit more Kansas City bravado.
I don't do trash talk, my friend.
You're not.
It's a waste of time. It is what it is. It's just math.
Prove
you know,
it on
you
the
are
field.
What you are.
Yeah.
And George Kittle is the best tight end in football, and the reason why is he's clinically insane.
Kelsey's not?
I have my doubt.
Kelsey's pretty darn close as well. Kelsey, he's a crazy guy.
Kelsey, when you watch him try to block, sometimes you can just see him kind of go, I'm on the backside. I don't have to worry so much about it.
One hand.
Kittle, man, he just wants to hurt people every time.
He's out for blood. There's
and then after he gets the ball, I think Kelsey actually described it best, lightning in a bottle. He where's he going? I don't know. It's great.
He's an incredible athlete. And you've got to, you know, be impressed with the way those guys have really been the standard bearers at the position.
Sure.
You know, across all of football. I'm not going to make you make a pick yet, although I feel like you're going to pick the Chiefs, right? Just because, I mean, hey, look, they're good enough to win. They're my team. I think they will win.
I think no lead in the fourth quarter, even a 4-score lead, is safe. I think the Chiefs have proven that. Twice this year, they scored 28 points in the in a single quarter. I think that it will be a 3-point kind of game. I think special teams will play huge. I can't wait to see how Dirty Dan Sorensen for the Chiefs handles that night.
That's fun.
And we are now building a Dirty Dan fan club, by the way.
Are you really?
I'm trying to. And
the 49.
I would pick,
ironically, number 49, right?
There you go.
There you go.
I would pick it. Right, I would already pick the Chiefs to win by like 1.5 spreads, perfect, like 3, a field goal at the very end of the game or overtime.
How is your trust in Andy Reid?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because it gets down to crunch time, and Andy, he seems to clam up sometimes.
It's happened
panics
before.
A little bit, you know. Yeah. He forgets about the time. He forgets about situations, I think. He's not the best situational head coach in football. I'll say that.
You've watched every Chiefs game, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything we're missing in the Eric Bieniemy narrative of why he has been overlooked for head coaching interviews and job opportunities?
I have no idea.
Because he's calling a lot of plays in a lot of games.
I have no idea. You know, Andy Reid, anybody would probably tell you and would probably agree with the assertion that Andy Reid's the brain behind that operation and that Eric Bieniemy's the heart behind that offensive operation. Bieniemy's the one, I think, relaying the plays to Mahomes live on the field. He helps develop the game plan. I think that Andy Reid is the one who is the engineer of it all. And I think that Eric Bieniemy, you watch him in press conferences. He's a motivator. He's a leader of men. And you can already tell just based on the way he speaks and presents himself. And the way that I don't know how he hasn't managed to land himself a head coaching job based just on that. Aside from the X's and O's and everything else.
Yeah, Matthew.
Well, all I was going to say is that I completely agree. It makes no sense to me because the thing is that when Matt Nagy got the job with the Bears, it was, oh, he's such a good offensive coordinator. Look what he's learned from Andy Reid. And with Eric Bieniemy, it's, maybe.
The Bears.
And I'm like,
you're right.
Eric Bieniemy, to me, it's a joke that both Eric Bieniemy and Robert Saleh did not get legitimate like offers to be a head coach. And maybe I don't know because I'm not Adam Schefter and I don't know that if they got an offer and they said, hey, no, I'm okay. But those two guys to me stand out as guys who you go, I want that to be my next head coach. And then you've got the Browns hiring Kevin Stefanski from the Vikings and they didn't do anything this year.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
I agree with that.
The whole league feels you. Everybody watch it.
The Browns job in particular, the Stefanski hire instead of
Joe Judge
of
with the Giants.
Guys. Yeah, but even you can understand the Giants. They're just like, hey, man, he's been within the Patriots branch for a while.
Yeah,
and let's give him a shot. You're here with Cooper Banks from FM News 101 KXL. Before you go, Cooper.
Yeah.
Who is the A-list celebrity Chiefs fan that gets top tier status? We see Stone Street.
Yeah.
We see Paul Rudd now.
Yeah.
And I know Melissa Etheridge is a huge Chiefs fan too. Who gets the top slot?
Rob Riggle? I'm saying it. Yeah,
right,
I'll say that. Riggle, for me, because
he's
real funny.
He's been a pretty vocal Chiefs fan for a long time, too. Right?
Yeah, him. I will check this out. See how many celebrity Chiefs fans there are now that we're going to the studio. I bet there's going to be more come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt at the SAG Awards the other day. A fan throws him a Chiefs hat, and he wanted it real bad. He was like, thank you so much. He puts
unbelievable.
The Brad Pitt, Chiefs fan, everybody.
You know who won't be a Chiefs fan? Rob Lowe.
What? I don't know. I'm not hip to that. What's up with Rob Lowe?
He shows up to the 49ers-Packers game yesterday.
Yeah.
He's sitting like front and center in a celebrity box or whatever, you know. The hat he's wearing, the NFL logo. The NFL shield.
It's a black hat.
It's like, just the shield. Who wears a hat if you're not even a referee? That's just the shield. A black hat with just a shield. He's like, I am not picking a side.
I am unaffiliated.
Completely unbiased.
My wife told me I had to come to this game.
Yeah.
And wear something.
Exactly. So this is what I'm wearing. So he might not root for the Chiefs, but yeah.
He became a meme so fast. I mean, it's not incredible because memes happen instantly now, but people were joking that under his button up, it said he was wearing a t-shirt that said sports. and then somebody else I just saw, they had one where it was like, if he was going to like Lids or some other hat store and going, are you sure you want that? No one buys that. That's really just for a display. No,
nah.
I will want everyone to know that I will root for NFL.
I want that. From the Napoleon Dynamite. Love it. All right, Cooper Banks from KXL, thanks for joining in, man. Congratulations to your Chiefs.
Thank you.
Part of the best parts of being a fan is when you're in seasons like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens. You can't take them for granted because they'll come and they'll go.
I'm riding the wave, man.
But ride that wave, man. Chiefs Kingdom. Congrats to you and your team.
Appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
There he is. Cooper Banks from FM News 101 KXL. Diehard Chiefs fan. We'll go away, come back. What's next for Marcus Mariota? Plus, Neil Lomax at the bottom of the hour. Nubian for Canzano on the Bald-Faced Truth. Neil Lomax coming up in about 6 minutes from now. Ryan in Vancouver is getting at me on the tweet machine. He says, I can't believe this. I've called 3 times for who got smoked and come as the runner-up all 3 times. Why? Hashtag second is the first loser. Hashtag Ryan in Vancouver. Boy, he's going third person and hashtagging his own name and location.
Yep.
Whew, that sounds like second place to me. No, I'm just kidding. Much love, Ryan. I love you, man. You will win one of these days. I know you will. So keep after it. Nick Cody doing his thing behind the tweet machine as well. And Nick has steered that in the right direction too. Good. Congratulations to DD in, where was he from?
Monmouth.
I was going to say one of those M words, Milwaukee or McMinnville or wherever. Monmouth. And he is in there for the win, saying that the Washington Huskies got smoked because they definitely did by Peyton Pritchard. And that brings us to our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
And it is the Oregon Duck men's basketball team getting that huge win in Seattle, courtesy Fast PP3. On national TV, no less. That real national TV, not like Pac-12 Network fake national TV. Real national TV with Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery on the call.
14 to shoot. Tied at 61. Lawson gets a touch. 7 to shoot. Finds Pritchard. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Pritchard has to hoist. Oh! Peyton Pritchard is money! Nuggets! My goodness! Off balance, fading back! Oh! A 3 with 3.2 left in overtime!
This is near impossible coming back. What strength he's got to have in those wheels. And the presence to just sturdy up for a second here before he has to fade back. Nylon! courageous pressure tray from Peyton Pritchard.
That is one of the best shots I've ever seen in college basketball, especially in a rivalry game on the road when you're down 16 in the second half. Oh, the Raftery Onions call. It is so perfect. An iconic moment in the history of an iconic Oregon Duck basketball player, Peyton Pritchard, the subject of our big splash.
I don't think Ian Eagle gets enough credit for how good of a play-by-play guy he is. In terms of, I love him on CBS. He's good with the Nets in the NBA. And he's a great national guy when it comes to March Madness.
I think Ian, and not to get too in the weeds, I think he's better basketball than he is football.
Agreed.
But yeah, he is one of the more underrated voices, no doubt. For the Oregon Ducks, they do still drop four spots to number 12 in the country because they lost to Wazoo. But that just tells you how big of a shot that was. Thank you, Go Cougs. How big a shot that was from Peyton Pritchard to avoid the state of Washington sweep for the Oregon Ducks. Huge, huge shot for him. The Ducks now 12th in the country. Neil Lomax coming up on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on the all Joe Montana Super Bowl coming up between the Chiefs and the Niners. Neil's got some connection.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.